All righty. Thank you all for being here. What do you say we just take a quick moment? We'll begin with prayer, and then we will go ahead and get started tonight. I apologize for starting later. We were trying to get some sound issues ironed out. But let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your grace, your goodness. Thank you for those that are able to be here tonight. And God, we are excited about all you are doing. Individually, collectively, bless this time together in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. 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 You can be seated. And I would like to commend you on being here. It is a busy, busy season. And had one individual call me tonight. They just started a Bible study with their neighbors. They said they were going to have like five people at their house. And so I was like, well, hallelujah, this is good. And so let's be praying for that. What a great weekend we had. And God was so good to us. I think there was 9 brand new people that received the gift of the Holy Ghost last night. And then one Sunday morning, one Sunday afternoon, so 11. God is good to us. And we're excited about all of that. But I'm excited about this class. I really am. And there's, as I said, there's a lot going on. But congratulations to you for making time to be here. And I believe that it's important to, there's a lot of things that we invest in. There's a lot of things that we invest in. We invest in our families, and we should. We invest in others, we should. We invest, obviously, in our relationship with God, and that's the most important thing. But I believe there's investment in ourselves that we cannot ignore. And sometimes we let the internal part of our life, the internal disciplines go. And I don't know how else to describe it, but it creates an almost indescribable, sometimes you don't even put your finger on where it's coming from, but lack of peace in your mind, your heart, your spirit. It's just something you carry around with you. And on the other hand, when you begin to invest in yourselves with things like financial disciplines, there's just a peace that comes when you know I'm starting to get things dialed in. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We all know what it's like to not have that peace. And so we want to begin with a little bit of review tonight. We talked to our baby steps. We've gone through all of the baby steps, at least as discussing them. And who remembers what baby step number one was? The emergency fund with the budget, and basically the $1,000 emergency fund. Number two, baby step number two, debt snowball. And we pay off everything but what? But the house. Good. And then baby step number three is basically completing the emergency fund. I heard a time frame on that, like 3 to 6 months. Anybody know what? Like, obviously, we'd all like 3 months as opposed to 6 months as far as the discipline of it. Why would we, who would need a 3 month versus who would need a 6 month? Just yell out some answers there. Yeah, it depends on your state, what kind of income you have. I heard somebody say self-employed versus salary, if you're commissioned. What's another one? If you have two incomes versus one income. And all of the basically the more risky, or how much, the more that it's based on one individual, the more time you would like. In other words, you would like a 4 to 5 to 6 month type emergency fund. Very good. Baby step number four, and I know you know these, but to remember them in order, it's kind of impressive. Would you say? Yes, it's time to think about retirement. And there's a percentage, not a number, but a percentage of our income that we should strive to invest in that. What was that number? 15%. Very good. Now, I did want to say this. On baby steps 1, 2, and 3, we want to focus on those, right? You do them individually, one at a time. But when you get to baby steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, those are ones that you do simultaneously, and you're doing them all at the same time. Important too, and maybe step number one, and really just to do any of this, is to have a budget. And so that's huge. We're like in the third month here, Hopefully you're starting, your budget's starting to work, it's starting to maybe fall into place a little bit more. The first month is probably horrible. You and your spouse probably fought over your budget. Maybe not, God bless you. Everybody's looking so pious here, not this group. It just didn't work, but maybe month two it worked a little better. Hopefully month three and four, it's starting to become a little more realistic, okay? And if you haven't got a budget yet, please start getting a budget. And it doesn't have to be perfect. I'm just telling you, that's the tracks that this financial train is going to run on. And you can, I know you'll benefit from just grabbing things out of the air like we would from anything, but doing it starting from a budget is huge. So maybe step number four was investing 15% into retirement. Who knows five, maybe step number five. What was it? College fund. And I was beginning to plan for that and to save for that. We talked about some of the different ways that you can save money for your kids' college fund. And then we talked about baby steps six and seven. Baby step six was paying off your home early. Baby step number seven was to live and build wealth and live and give like no one else. Okay, last week we were not dealing with any of those baby steps. We're kind of moved into a defensive type strategy now. Let me explain that. If you've ever played sports, I liked basketball and football. Football got old early because it hurt too much as I moved into my 20s. But both basketball and football, you can't just have all offense. If you ever play basketball, you know there's guys that the cherry pickers that stay at one end of the court and they don't want to do any defense. Well, the reason for that is it's not always as fun, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose if you don't have both. And in financial terms, you got to have the offensive aspect of these baby steps. But I do want to tell you that there are things that can wipe you out regardless of how good your plan is. They can wipe you out. And one is really just crazy spending, lack of budget, okay? That has to be taken care of, and that's what we dealt with last week. But this one this week is something that I know at first glance sounds really boring, okay? And I want to talk this week, and we are going to have a guest speaker as well. Looking forward to hearing this, Sister Machiko Robinson. And it's going to be, I'm really excited about that. But we're going to be talking about insurance. And I want to tell you this, insurance is a pain unless you need it, until you need it. And ironically, by definition, you need insurance at the very worst times. You don't need insurance until you need insurance. I mean, we'd all like to get a big, settlement come our way for something, but it comes at the worst times. And so what are basically, when does insurance, when is it needed? Just yell out some things. Sickness? Accidents. Car accidents. Your health. Whether it's sickness or maybe later in life when you're down, you get robbed. Fire. What was it? Rialto winds, natural disaster. That's right. Somebody had a gate blow over, if I remember correctly. It's just part of life, disability, and death. These are all part of times that you need insurance. Now, here's the other part, is figuring out when do you actually want to buy insurance? In other words, what types of insurance do you need? Because they sell insurance for everything. You can get insurance on every conceivable thing under the sun. I looked up a few of them, and I actually saw where they now have mustache insurance. I don't know if maybe you're smoking and you set yourself on fire, you can go and you can receive a settlement for that. They have alien abduction insurance. Go figure, maybe in Roswell, that's a big deal. Body part insurance. Maybe if you're a boxer or a painter or a pianist, maybe that makes sense. It doesn't make sense for me, any of those. They have taste bud insurance. I don't know if that's like for a wine taster or somebody that makes a living that way. They even have insurance against death by laughter. And the reason they have that is because somebody's actually bought it or asked about it. And so the reason I read those to you is to let you know there's a lot of insurance out there. And if you've ever bought a vacuum cleaner, you know they want you to get a warranty and an insurance on everything. Some of them are good. Some of you may have different opinions than I. But what we want to talk about tonight is seven types of insurances that everybody needs to have. Everybody needs to have. Now, so here's the basic idea about insurance that you need to think about. Insurance is to transfer risk for those things that you cannot afford. Okay? In other words, you don't need insurance on things that you can afford. You don't need flat tire insurance because hopefully you have an emergency fund. If you don't have an emergency fund, then forget insurance for right now. Okay? It's time to deal with that basic and take it in order. And so let's talk about some of these insurances that we're going to talk about are big ticket insurances. Number one off the top is auto insurance. Everybody say auto insurance.
Auto insurance.
Okay, now here's some things to think about when it comes to auto insurance. We know that it's law that everybody have liability insurance. Of course, probably only 50% of the people on the road have it, as most anybody that gets in a wreck can testify. It seems like you're always hit by somebody that doesn't have insurance. But here's some things that to think about. Some of these are basic and you already are doing them, but we're going to talk about them anyway. If you already have a full emergency fund in the bank account, then it's time with auto insurance to raise your deductible. You don't need a small deductible. You basically have already self-insured yourself. And I think we all understand this. Now, the question to ask is, you know, how big a deductible do I need? The best way to go about it is just a common sense approach. Fancy name for it is break-even analysis. It's where you would do something like this. Okay, my deductible, say my deductible, I have an extremely low deductible, it's $250. I call up my insurance and I say, how much would it be if I was to raise my deductible to $1,000? Okay? They tell me it'll be an extra $75 a year. Okay, so help me with the math here. The difference between my first deductible of $250 and $1,000, my new deductible is what? $750. I'm not going to trick you here. $750, okay? Now, how long would it take me to recoup that $750? In other words, my insurance went up by $75 a year. And so you just basically divided $750 by 75, and that gives me how many years? 10 years. That means that it would take 10 years to be worthwhile to move from a $250 deductible to $1,000. Now, here's the deal. How often do we get in car wrecks? 10 years is a pretty big gamble, especially in Southern California, and especially if you drive like your pastor or your pastor's father. You may have to guess at when do you plan to have your next accident and go from there. So this is the kind of numbers that you need to play with. The bottom line is, though, if you've got a fully funded emergency fund, raise your deduction. You don't want to be nickeled and dimed to death with silly payments. And here's a beautiful word we're striving for. It's called being self-insured. Self-insured. And that's essentially where you have the money to cover these things. So with auto, though, one of the biggest things you have to think about is this word, liability. All right? You have to carry adequate liability. Now, this is one of the things you need to do after you leave here. Everybody look at your neighbor and tell them, you got to do this. When you leave this house, you have to do it tonight, but go and check what your liability coverage is. Here's the deal. It's required by law to have liability, but the numbers that they require you to have are probably not even close to what would cover if you hurt somebody. And here's the neat part, though, is if we're dealing with something as boring as liability insurance, liability insurance is very cheap. It really is, especially compared to what we're dealing with, or we're talking about, because we're talking about big ticket items that can destroy your whole plan. You've spent all this time, you've got $1,000, and then you got rid of all your debt, and then you got 3 to 6 months, and then you hit somebody, or some kid runs out in the middle of the street, God forbid, and you have just a certain amount of liability, and you're not able to deal with this. And so Dave Ramsey recommends at least $500,000 in liability. So that's just something to think about. It's not as expensive as you think it is, the liability end of it. Something you might consider with insurance, this is something to consider, is dropping your collision insurance if you have an older car, right? Some of you, this is like basic understanding, but if you have an old clunker that's like, whatever, mine's 10 years old already, I guess, but 20 years old, and there's no reason for you to have collision insurance if you could go buy that thing for, whatever the amount is. And so that's just something to consider with auto insurance. The next category of insurance that we want to cover is homeowners and renters insurance. Now, we know, again, that you have to have homeowners insurance. But, I was preparing for this lesson, really started me thinking, because if you're wondering where I'm at in the spectrum with insurance, I'm very skeptical of like warranties and things like that. Now, when it comes to life insurance and stuff like that, I sit up and pay attention. So homeowners insurance, when they're trying to sell me how much I need, how much coverage, I'm going like, how much is my house worth? Are you kidding me? Well, this is something that Dave Ramsey brought up that was interesting to me. He said, ideally you want to have homeowners coverage. It should be this. It should be guaranteed replacement cost, if at all possible. Okay? Guaranteed replacement cost. Not extended replacement cost insurance. Now, let me explain the difference. Guaranteed replacement is whatever your house is worth, they're going to pay for it. Okay? They're going to pay for it up to code, they're going to cover the fees, they're going to get the permits, all go through all the red tape, they're going to pay for it. The extended coverage is based on what your house is worth. Say it's worth $300,000. They typically will give you maybe a 50% extension. So you bought your house 10 years, 20 years ago, and you got it for $150,000. Today it's worth $350,000, but you still have insurance for $150,000. They might give you a 50% bump, another 75, so you're at 225. You go to build, or say your house burns down, whatever, and you've got a gap. It's what were the numbers? 225, and now your house is worth 300. And so that's really something to think about. You might want to go back and shop your homeowner's insurance. You may not be able to get the absolute replacement insurance. If you can, then go back and bump your extended coverage every few years. Did that make sense? A little bit complicated, but I think some of you already have done that and know that. Any questions on that before we move on from here? Sister Robinson. If you have an agent that you're going with, they will also reassess the value of if you didn't hear that, she was saying the agent, the insurance agent, is going to help you to find, you know, basically what the home, your value is, and what a legitimate number is. So even then, use your own sense. I had an agent one time, and they were out to get in my pocket, and my value was not anywhere near, or going to be anywhere near, where they were at for a long time. But that's something to think about. Okay, next we want to talk about if you have, we're still on homeowners and rental insurance. If you're in an apartment or in maybe renting a house of some kind, you need to have renter's insurance. Renter's insurance is for fire, weather events, theft. I know of someone, I tried to call them before this deal tonight so I could tell the story and use their name. They didn't answer, so I'm just going to use their story and not use the name. They were presented with an offer many years ago to buy a rental house. And very inexpensive. It was pennies on the dollar. It really was a blessing from God. So they did. They bought renter's insurance. Actually, as this is probably not apples to apples because it's not really renter's insurance that you're living in, but they had to get the insurance as a homeowner for a rental. Bottom line is this: it was a house up in the mountains, and one day somebody went out to do some work on it, and I don't think the door was open, but they went inside, and when I tell you somebody had robbed the house, they had taken everything, mattresses and carpets and rugs and refrigerators and every conceivable thing. I mean, it was down to nothing. So, well, we got insurance, so they called up the agent, and the agent said, okay, yeah, absolutely. Well, they got to check in, and they had sold them insurance that included insurance for fire, for weather, but not theft. And I have no idea why. Why not? In fact, it's such an omission that they very likely could have sued the agent. The agent was kind of worried about it. Moral of the story is have the insurance and make sure you have the right insurance. You want to cover fire, weather, obviously theft. And it's really not that expensive. If you're a renter and you're in a house, it's not that much. It's not that much, and it's worth having. Again, while we're on this subject of homeowners insurance, if as time develops and you've done all this stuff, you've done the baby steps, you've been smart, you've been diligent, God begins to bless, and you begin to build some financial security, begin to build wealth, this is something to think about, and that is having an umbrella liability policy. For instance, this church, we have a policy, and every now and then the insurance agent comes out. I don't even like to see the guy. He's such a nice guy, but I don't want to talk to him. He tells me the most horrible stories you've ever heard in your life. There's this church somewhere over here, and this happened. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, I don't even sleep that night. But part of our policy, we have all these different, you know, vehicle, auto, liability, and then there's an umbrella policy on top of that. And it's for millions of dollars to cover. I guess it shouldn't be. You're not going to slip and fall on me tonight, right? Because you know this. Anyway, it's just in the event something crazy happens. And it's just part of business. Well, individuals need to think about this. If you get to a certain point of blessing, you should have, you know, Ramsey recommends $500,000 in auto insurance on your home. If you have another $500,000, then he recommends when you've got, you know, to a certain point in building wealth, to add another $1 million in an umbrella liability insurance. It's not that much. It's like $200 to $300 a year. Now remember, with insurance, we're all about trying to take care of those big ticket items that we can't cover. We're trying to transfer risk to the insurance company. Now they're out to get us. They're saying, Daryl, you need to insure your taste buds. Brother Lee, you need to insure your boxing hands that God gifted you with, and a bunch of nonsense out there. I'm sure you can have very quick, powerful hands, but they're trying to sell stuff like that. That's just not impressed. So, but you do have to understand there are some big ticket items. That's where we rely on the insurance companies. And if you think about it, I was thinking about it today. Really, if you do it right, you're making dingbats pay for your insurance. Why is it worthwhile for the insurance company to do that? Well, if you're being wise, people that are doing maybe less frivolous stuff, or maybe not as thinking as you are, insurance companies are making it based on the fact that it's profitable to be an insurance company. In a certain sense, they're paying for you to make wise decisions. Okay. So use this. If you get to a certain point in God blessing you, it might be something to think about, a large umbrella liability policy. Okay, health insurance. Let's talk about health insurance. Did you know the number one cause of bankruptcy in America, in North America, is not credit cards? Credit cards is second. But number one is, not surprisingly, the lack of health insurance. And here's what usually happens. When you have health insurance, really, here's the deal. It's not that people have zero health insurance. Not a lot of people are in that. It's when they don't have enough, or they don't have good health insurance. And here's like a classic example. They'll have huge deductibles. They'll have the 80-20 copay. That's where the insurance company pay 80%, you pay 20%, and there's no emergency fund. That is the perfect storm if you have a big deal. You have twins, and they both end up in NICU, and they're there for months. That could be $500,000. That could be $1 million. And wow, I didn't even think about it. Yeah, we have somebody to testify that. It's these things can actually happen. And so so here's some things to do with health insurance. All right? It is a good idea to think about increasing your deductible and or your co-insurance amount to bring the premiums down. But you gotta think about what you're doing. You're going back to that break-even analysis. So you don't want to be paying too much every month. There are ways to avoid, to lower your deal, to lower your monthly premiums. One of them is to increase your deductible. So a lot of insurance companies have this 80-20 plan. How many are familiar with that? Right? It's where you pay 20%, they pay 80%. Now, so let me give you a scenario here. Somebody gets sit in your family, and you go to the doctor, and you're there for a few weeks, and your bill is $100,000, which is, you can sneeze and be there with our current medical system. $100,000, if your deductible was $1,000 and you have an 80-20 plan, at the end of that $100,000, help me, how much money would you be paying out of pocket? $100,000? 80%, 20%, and you have a $1,000 deductible. If you miss it by a few thousand, you're not dumb, it's just you're doing it on the fly. Throw a number out. What did I hear? 21? 21's exactly right? So 80% of 100,000, okay, let's do it this way. 20% of 100,000 you're paying. So 20,000 you're paying, and then the $1,000 deductible. Here's the deal. You have to make the decision based on what your emergency fund is. Can I pay that? This isn't going to happen every day. This may never happen. But you want to be where you can. And so you've got to find the number. And think about this. Some people never do this thinking. What can I handle without going bankrupt and destroying all this work that I've done? I've got an emergency fund. I've paid off debt. I've funded 15%. And it's wiped out in 1 minute by the health industry. So what's your number? You don't have to answer now. Think about it. Right now, it may be $50. Well, whatever the case is, you got to think about it. Somebody here may be able to handle $20,000, and you can get low premiums and take that money and not go blow it at Starbucks, but you can be investing it. And actually, that can be part of your 15% and making a lot of money. Anyway, does that kind of make sense in general terms? This is some thinking that we need to do. Also, I need to move much quicker here. Another part of health insurance is increasing your stop loss, but never decreasing the maximum pay. I'm going to say that again, then I'm going to explain this. This might be a good idea. Increase your stop loss, but never decrease the maximum pay. Now, what is stop loss? Stop loss is a term in insurance where the medical insurance, they will cover, after a certain point, they pick up everything. So your stop loss number may be $10,000. After $10,000, they cover everything. So it may be a good idea to increase your stop loss. Again, say you have $15,000 in savings. You don't want to give it to them, but how often are you going to have a huge medical bill? So maybe you can say, all right, I could make $15,000 and not go bankrupt in order to save these premiums. I don't know. I'm just picking up numbers here. And so you increase your stop loss. Now, the other number I mentioned was, term in insurance I mentioned was maximum pay. Maximum pay is just what it sounds like. It's the maximum amount that the insurance company will pay. It may be, and sometimes they write it in there, we'll pay up to $500,000. We'll pay up to $1 million. We'll pay up to $2 million. It's almost never, in fact, never consider trying to save money by saying lower that. Instead of $1 million, I want $500,000. Why is that? Because when you're talking $500,000, that's why you want insurance. Those are monster ticket items that can destroy your financial world. And so you never want to lower that maximum pay. It's not worth it. Okay? All right, here's something else to consider with health insurance, the HSA or health savings account. This is a great idea right here. Let me throw this out there. This is a great idea. It is basically a tax-sheltered savings account for medical expenses that works with a high deductible insurance policy. Okay, let me explain what this is. You can get an HSA, and it costs less than like a PPO. In fact, it's about two-thirds the amount. So if your PPO costs $500 a month, an HSA for the same insurance would probably cost about $300. All right? Now the problem, well not the problem, but the trade-off is your deductible is going to be higher. If it was $1,000 with a PPO, it's going to be maybe $5,000 with the HSA. So who is this good for? Well, if you're healthy, this is a really good plan because it's worth getting that $200 a month savings in with the idea that, man, I may not have to worry about that deductible. Or if you're very, very sick, it's actually a pretty good idea too because you can blow through that $5,000 real quick and be up. So I guess this is not a good idea for people that are kind of sort of sick or sort of healthy. So you figure that out to yourself. All right. And the reason it's called a health savings plan, if you've ever wondered, is it's exactly that. You can take and save every year up to the amount of the deductible, which I said was $5,000. I mean, in my theoretical example, you can take that and put it in a health savings account and that can be used and it's tax deductible. And so if you've ever heard of an HSA, that's exactly what that is. All right. Thank you for hanging with me through that. Disability insurance. Everybody say disability insurance. Now, this is one of the scary ones. It'd be fun to take a poll in here of how many of you think you will ever need disability insurance. It's been done, and in America, the study that I read, they went to all these different people and said, how many of you think you will be disabled at some point in your life? And the average American said, there was like 2% of Americans thought they would be. Okay, 2%. Anybody want to guess on what the actual number of people that will be somewhere disabled is scared me? It's not that high, but it's high. It's 30%. One out of three. One, two, three, you'll be disabled. One, two, three, is that should I stop just talking? That's the numbers. How about this? One, two, three. So, I mean, that's sobering. And so, now here's some things to think about with that. Okay? Disability insurance, it's designed, let me give you this other number. 20-year-olds in America have a 1-in-4 chance of being disabled. 20-year-olds. Dave Ramsey told about this guy that came up to him, and he's like 23, 24. He said, I owe you a thank you. He said, why? He said, he was in his early 20s. He went to one of these classes. He went and got disability insurance. He was making like $100,000 a year in the computer industry. Within a short time, he was completely disabled. And for the rest of his life, he was covered. And Dave Ramsey recommends that your coverage should be for at least 65% of your current income. If you're making $55,000 or $50,000 a year, would that be $35,000? No, $32,500, I guess. Point being, 65%. This guy had done that, and he was making like basically what you would make after taxes, pretty close, for the rest of his life. And so here's some things to think about with disability. I'm going to say them super quick. You don't want to get, you want to try to buy disability insurance that pays if you cannot perform in your particular occupation. For instance, I'm a preacher. If I lose my voice, I guess I could do sign. The brother Nolan, tremendous preacher. Sister Karen, have you ever seen Brother Nolan do deaf preaching? Okay. Well, if I lose my voice, I'm in trouble because I can't do ASL. And so, in some of you others, you have specific occupations that you're involved in. If you lost a certain ability, whatever that case, you wouldn't be able to do that job. And so it's ideal to try to find this occupational disability, or it's called own OCC disability. Another thing to think about is you don't want to have short-term disability that is really short-term. Because again, you want to have an emergency fund that can help cover. Okay, and you don't want to be too short. Beware of short-term policies that are too short. Your coverage should be for 65% of your current income. Here's something else to consider. A longer elimination period will lower your premium cost. And I apologize for all some of this stuff. Some of this is brand new for me too. The elimination period is the time between, say I get hurt on the job. Okay, I lose my voice. I go to the doctor and the doctor pronounces me disabled. Until I get my first disability check, that is the elimination period. It's not when I hurt myself until I get the check. It's when the doctor says you're hurt, okay? And typically that's like a 90-day period, but you can lower your premium cost by saying, I want a 180-day elimination period, okay? So that's something else to consider. All right, I'm gonna try and move quick, but long-term care insurance. This is a huge one. We're talking like nursing home care, assisted living facilities, in-home care. And this is a must-have for anyone who is 60 years old or older, per Dave Ramsey. Don't do it before you're 60. He said you have like a 1% chance of this. Okay, cool. So if you're a lady and you're married, women have a 75% chance to outlive their husband. And so it's something to think about. This, if you have parents that are over, how many have parents that are over 60 years old that are still living? Okay. This may fall on you. You might want to have that conversation. How awkward is that, mom and dad? you need to be thinking about long-term care insurance. You may want to get it for them. And the reason for this is a financial tsunami when it hits people. A lot of times it happens at the same time that you were putting your kids through college. And so you got your kids and then you got your parents at the same time. And this is interesting. Do you know the last 6 months of your life is going to be the most expensive time of your life financially? The last 6 months. In fact, that 6 months could be more expensive than any decade of your life because of all of the finances involved in that. Some people say, well, I'll move my parents' assets into my, they'll basically switch them into my name so they will not have very much assets and then they'll qualify for Medicaid or something. The only problem with that is it's fraud. It really is fraud. And the government is actually investigating that big time. And so trying to get people, to where qualified, and they go back sometimes 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 10 years, it was 5 years, and if they do, it's actually fraud. And so this is something to think about ahead of time. Long term care, it's a big problem in America today. Sister, can you guys hear?
Long-term care, I just want to mention that, is getting it while you're older, it's all out of the ceiling. It's very high. But I have long-term care for my son, and he's only 32. So he's been paying for it for a few years, and it's really low. So when he said to wait, everything depends on your age. And when you're 60, you know what they're looking at you? So it's very high. But if you're at his age, and one thing too, the policy that he has, if he never uses it, he gets his premiums back. So it's something to consider, because I even have long-term care. My husband had long-term care, but we got it when we were like in our 40s, 30-something, 40. So at 60.
And she's right, that it's much more expensive. Here's the thing that Dave Ramsey says about that, and this is if you're taking
and you are actively investing. To use an example, say a 30-year-old, I don't have the numbers in front of me. If you took, what do you think a fair number is for long-term care per month for, say, a 30-year-old? It's cheap. Say it's 20 bucks a month. It's almost very inexpensive. If you take 20 bucks a month and you begin to invest it at 10 to 12%, you'd be amazed at what that ends up being over time. He does that with, there's several of these examples that he does in here. I don't have those to project. And so that's the other end of the scale. That's where he's coming from on that. So there may be something to wanting to start early on that. He is coming off, and Dave Ramsey is coming off with long-term care, and then there were several others. Prepaid burial policies, that's another one. And some of these other types of insurance that are not in this seven, if you invest that money, basically you come out of it. That's where he's coming from on that. So that's something you can work through and figure out on that and on any other type of insurance. Okay, another one that we want to cover is identity theft protection. This would be a fun question. How many of you have ever had identity fraud? I have. How many have not? This would be interesting. Just raise your hand. If you have never, that's good. I think we're about 50-50. I've had it 3 or 4 times, and it's not been severe, but it has been an issue. Now, this is something that he recommends highly, having identity theft protection. Now, you don't do this just to, don't buy identity theft protection that only provides credit report monitoring. You can do that yourself, right? You just go to Equifax or what's the one that's free? Well, they're all free if you go to them. You can get all three of them every 3 months. What is it? Something like that. Free credit report.
Credit Karma is like a free one.
That one too. There's probably several of them. But you can get, is it every 3 months or one time? I can't remember. Bottom line is you can do it yourself. Don't pay for that. What you're wanting to pay for, good protection includes this, restoration services that assign a counselor to clean up the mess. That's if you really get hammered. Somebody's got your name, and they're buying houses, and they're doing it. This happens. I hear horror stories of this. The thing about it, it can take up to, on average, it takes 600 hours to clean up this mess. 600 hours. That's like, what, 15 work weeks, 40-hour work weeks. It's a lot of time. And so that's the kind of identity theft protection that you want to have, okay? Now, I need to move quickly. I keep saying that, but we are now at life insurance. Life insurance is essentially insurance to replace lost income due to death. 30% of households have zero life insurance. And the bad part about it is term life insurance is cheap. I couldn't believe it. At, what were we, 30 years old when we got our first policy? I want to say it was like, it was in the teens, 13 bucks, 15 bucks. We didn't have $1 million back then in insurance, but it was like a few hundred thousand. We've since upped it. It was so cheap, I couldn't believe it. And term life insurance, just to clarify, I'm gonna give you a couple things. There's term life insurance and there's cash value insurance. Term life insurance is basically for a specified term. Okay, it is for a specified period, it is substantially cheaper, and it has no savings plan built into it. Term life insurance, you're getting it for a term. In other words, you're being insured for 5 years, or 10 years, or 20, or 30 years. And obviously, the longer term that you're insured for, the more expensive it is. Cash value insurance is normally for life, and it is more expensive, and it funds a savings plan. Now, the thing about whole life insurance, there's different views out there, but this is what Dave Ramsey says, and I agree with him. Whole life insurance, it's permanent. Now, the reason, and we, there's a thinking out there, you gotta have this, you gotta have permanent insurance. Well, the only thing that should be permanent about insurance is the agent's need for a commission. There ought to come a point, if you're following these steps, where you are self-insured. Okay, now it's not going to be 5 years from now. Brother Randy, how old are you and Sister Tiffany? 31. You're 31. Can I use you guys as an example? I'm going to take my handy dandy notes.
Go ahead and stand up. How old are you, man? 31? How old is you, Tiffany? Are you allowed to ask a woman that? Okay, so I had to write this down. So, how old are your kids?
12 through 2. Okay, 12. I'll ask her if she knows the age of each one of them.
12, 11, and 4.
Okay, so let's use a scenario of 20 years. In 20 years, your baby girl will be 22. Okay? So we have 31, 51. Okay, okay. You guys have 51. Your kids basically
are going to be out of the house. Okay, they're going to be out of the house. If you're following the Dave Ramsey plan, he recommends having a 15-year mortgage, okay? Let's use a 30-year deal, whatever. The point is, your mortgage is going to be gone or close to being gone if you follow this plan. Okay, the kids are out of the house. Think about the money involved in that. If you've been, you won't have any debt. You've done the debt snowball. If you're following the plan, if you're not following the plan, then why follow the term life versus whole life? Go get whole life, you know. But if you're following the plan, you will essentially be at that point. You've been investing in a Roth, your investment. You're 31 years old. You'll have 21 years of working on this. And this is the numbers he said. He said, if you were to start right now at 30, 31 years is a perfect example of this. If you were to start right now, putting 15% in, you'd be worth, and I don't know what you make, okay? We're not asking what you make, but using the average, this is it, the average number was $50,000 per year, okay, of a household income. He said you'd be somewhere around $700,000 to $1 million. You'd have that in the bank, essentially. You'd have it. And so Randy and Tiffany, at that point, you are self-insured. You have no housing. Your kids are out of the house. You've trained them. They are not living in your basement. They're grown up, and they are out ready to support you when you're in the nursing home and get your chin wiped, right? That's what this is about. So you can be seated, but that's something to think about. This idea right here of term life, you want to be self-insured. I remember talking to Leon Haney when I was probably 23 years old, and he was talking to me about financial things. Anybody that knows Leon Haney, just solid, good man, wise, had good sense, and he presented that to me. He said, Joel, you need to get term life insurance. I'm sorry, either behind you. You need term life insurance. You need to be self-insured where when that turns out in 20 years, 30 years, you are ready and you have essentially the same as what that premium, the benefit would have been from that. Does that make sense? So that's why, and you run these numbers, trust me, insurance companies are in it to make money. If you're an agent, are you going to be selling term life that may, are you going to be pushing term life that is $13 a month? Or are you going to be selling whole life that is $170 a month? You're based on premiums. You're going to be selling the one that's more expensive. Okay? So that's something to think about. Also, we'll go through this quickly. You need about 10 times your income. If you invest that at 10 to 12%, your rate of return, as your rate of return, the growth will replace your lost income. Term is the way to go. Also, when you invest, don't forget your spouse. Even if your spouse, maybe it's your wife in this case, is a stay-at-home mom, you're blessed to do that. You still, is there like a financial benefit to having a stay-at-home wife? Oh, try hiring a nanny. aside from the emotional human benefit, try all of those things. There's financial, and so don't forget to insure your spouse. How about your children? Should you insure your children? Well, just enough for burial expenses, because your kids, when it comes financially, are liabilities. Financially, they're wonderful, they're beautiful, they're the greatest thing you got going for you as far as future and legacy, but financially, they're a liability. So you don't need to have a huge, because if they're gone, you're not going to have, if anything, you're going to be doing better financially. God forgive us and help us for saying that. All right. Also something to think about, never cancel the old. If you're going to move from whole life to our variable insurance to term life, never cancel the one until you have the other. It's like somebody comes to me sometimes, they don't like their old job. I'm like, okay, get a new one. But don't quit until you got a new job. It's a whole lot easier to get a new job when you have one. And same with insurance.
Here's some things to avoid. Well, you know what? I will just throw this out there. Here's some insurances that Dave Ramsey recommends avoiding. You know what? For sake of time, I will not go through them. If you have a book, you can read this. I want to cover this. This is my final point. Get a written will. And as I say that, I am so convicted. I don't have a will. But I'm going to get one. And I just said it in front of people, and I don't lie.
There's a sale on legalzoo.com.
And I recommend legalzoo. Yes, if you can go afford an attorney to do a trust for $2,000, go do it. If you have kids, I really should have a trust. It's better. But if I can go get one tomorrow at LegalZoom for $179, what's the sale? Do you know? Woo. Tomorrow, and it works. And as far as the kids and so on, I need to take care of that. But the bottom line is, go get one. It's not hard. I have done LegalZoom for people. They wanted it done. And I just sat down at the computer and went, okay, what do you want? And they did it. It's easy. And why don't I have it? I don't know. I'm sorry. But I'm writing myself a note. Ask me next time you see me if I have one. And you're either going to get a really smarmy, guilty answer or... Or I will be proud to tell you that I did. All right, I wrote a note. It's done. Get a will. In fact, you need to have your will in the drawer. Call it whatever you want to call it. I have an important documents drawer at home. It has all the title. It has all the auto insurance. It's just important. It has birth certificates and stuff. You need to do this. If God forbid something happened to me tomorrow, sweetheart, go to the filing cabinet, top drawer. That's where most of the stuff's at. And I do that. I really do. I do that because I feel better about it, but I do that because I love my wife. There's enough that goes on. I could speak firsthand. There's a lot that goes on in those grieving times. The last thing they need is a financial disaster when all you have to do is get a filing cabinet and help them during that time. Now, thank you for your patience. Why don't we stand for a second so we can sit down again in just a minute. I started about 10 minutes late. Would you guys give me about 10 to 15 minutes? This is very important, what we're about to do. Brother and Sister Robinson I think the first time I met them and really talked to them. It's been a couple years ago. And these are great, great people. Anybody that knew Brother Robinson, a man of integrity, good man. And if you were at his funeral, it was a packed house, literally people standing. And Sister Robinson is the same. This is a great family. And when I was talking to her about this financial class, she came to me about insurance and was talking about some of the wise decisions that her and Brother Robinson made at a young age. And she said, Sis, are you willing to talk about this? She said, I am. And so we're going to take about 15 minutes, and I would like her to come. We appreciate her so much. These are some decisions that she made that I think would very much benefit us. So, Sister Robinson, why don't you come? You guys can be seated. And as she comes, why don't we make her welcome? Give her a hand. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to her.
A little scripture that I had Darnell look up because it kind of set with me when I was younger. It was Luke.
Luke 19, verse 13. It says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come.
So basically what I wanted to mention and kind of talk about is I retired from my job last year. Before my husband passed away. So that was my plan, our plan. So at that time, when I retired, we had exactly what we were gonna do, travel, this and that. But the job that I worked prior to retiring, I worked for SoCal Gas. And I was a lead planner. So the people that I had underneath me, they were planners, which meant we would plan the gas replacement, new pipes put in, The other one's disconnected. So I'm sure you kind of have an idea with the water company. But I also worked with high pressure. And high pressure was very, very sensitive and delicate. I mean, for Disneyland, because I worked in Anaheim, we could blow that whole place up. So we always had to have an alternate plan, which we called Plan B. So if anything went south, they could come in, shut the gas lines down, do whatever they had to do, evacuate. So I feel like in our life, you know, when we are living for God, things are good. I believe it's the best life we can have. But we do need a Plan B.
It's good.
Because as we live this life, we're having a good time, things are great, working, you just never know. So with my husband, he had been diagnosed with carcinoid cancer, which is very rare. And when he was diagnosed, he was actually terminal. What do they call it? Stage 4. So it didn't give us time to, you know, to figure out. But what I want to say, he did live almost 8 years after that. But at that time, we were able, before that, when we were like 29, our first insurance policy was a term life. So think about 29, and my husband passed away at 59, or 58, okay, 59. So 30 years is not a long time. But during that time, we bought our first policy, and we were nervous. We were like, oh, can we afford this little policy? Because, you know, you're kind of stretched with other things. But it was the best investment we made. And so normally, I guess, if people have a job, your job will give you 1 year salary. Okay. And I used to talk to the guys. I said, hey, 1 year salary, is that going to help your wife to continue on after? Well, I never thought of that. So I told him, I said, you need to get a policy that is either going to take care of the house, or it's going to take care of her being able to be retrained, or whatever it takes for that family to move on after you're gone. I mean, I would have never thought my husband would pass away at 59, because that's not even really retirement age. But I retired early. But the thing is, I always tell people, and I was working with nothing but men, I said, what about your wife? She's a stay-at-home wife. Oh, I never thought about that. I said, yeah, if she's gone, now you gotta pay someone to watch your kids. So if you're young, now's the time to get that policy. You could get a policy, think about it. I thought $150,000 was good. That's nothing. So later on, we started picking up different policies. I have my daughter insured. And I remember as a baby, I got Gerber insurance. But when you get a policy, they usually give you a $10,000 rider. They call it a rider for each one of your children. So that way, if something happens, you can bury them. Also, I thought, what would I do? I'd grieve. Do I feel like going back to work after losing a child? So different things. You have to look at your situation. But if I could somehow tell you, look at your finance. And one thing I'll say is I did get a policy, and I'll say this too. When you get older, you don't know what you're gonna start to get chronically wrong with you. And my situation was diabetes. Do you think I could go out and try to get a policy then? No, they wanna skyrocket it up, see if medication, and they have every right to pull your health record. So while you're healthy, they also look at, you know, the amount you're getting, they're looking at your weight, they're looking at everything to see whether they'll insure you. So if you're young, get out there and get some insurance. Also, your car insurance. I had Allstate. They gave me a discount. And what I wanted to make sure I had was being able to get what they call accelerated death. Because if my husband, which he was, diagnosed with cancer, and we kind of had a doctor that says, yeah, he's gonna die. So I said, I'm gonna make him pay. He's gonna fill out this accelerated death benefit since he thinks my husband's not gonna last a year. So Allstate paid it out, tax free. I don't have to even worry about being taxed on that. So I got it ahead of time. So during that time, when his salary was reduced, we could live. We didn't have to worry about that. So with my husband being diagnosed, of course, we weren't floored as we would have been. It's like, whoa, now what am I going to do? You know, oh, the money. You're constantly thinking of what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, glory to God if he's healed and you continue back the way it was, but I have to look at the future that it may not be that way. And so thank God for the life insurance policies that we had. So we were able to, you know, deal with the sickness, his illness, and not finances, what's going to happen. So I just want to mention to people, there's so many different insurances out there. When I was hired, they gave me the 1 year, but I also bought supplemental. I went all the way up to 5 times my salary because a group insurance policy is cheap. It's cheaper than if you had to go out there and get your own. But like he said, once you get a certain age, like I did when I retired, I started canceling some of my policies, but I did keep my legacy policy. And the reason what I learned from that is working with my husband's 401s and all these other things, I couldn't get to it. I was not 59 and a half. So that had to be rolled over unless I wanted to pay a huge penalty. But at the same time, I want to be able to say for my kids, I have a policy that will pay them tax-free. So now, you know, even though I may have money stacked away for them, they may not even be able to touch it. But I wanted them to have access. Because if I left that money in a regular bank, I'm getting what, 0.045? They show me $1.45 every month for having over $10,000 in my account. So that doesn't work either. But at the same time, I want them to be able to cash in on a policy. And I have a legacy plan that was only God, because I had diabetes before this went down. And so my agent for Allstate was able to convert my Lincoln insurance over. So it's going to pay for the rest of my life. But at the same time, they'll have access to money, you know. And what I want to say is make sure you can bury yourself. I hate to see where people have to try to raise money, or they're going to a funeral home, and the funeral home wants to gouge you.
Oh, yeah.
And I had bought a plot for my husband, but I didn't let him know because he was kind of like, you went to the cemetery? So I wanted to show I had faith. Yes, yes, God can heal. I know he can, but at the same time, I realized that when you go to the cemetery, the first thing they ask you, is this a need? They do.
Wow.
And I learned that with my a need. Okay? No, it's not. It's before. That's what I would tell them. Because with my father, he was sick and I knew he was going to die. So they treated me totally different because it was before. It was like going to buy a car and I said, hey, I'm walking. Yeah, I'm walking. I'm not going to, oh, no, we can lower this. But when it's a need, nothing's happening. They are going to stick it to you. And plus, you got to remember you're grieving. So my husband had been sick. This was the week that he ended up dying. Something told me, go there. I called her. She said, well, I can see you next week. I said, no, you're going to see me Saturday. So I went over there just to do some of the service planning. It was a before need, which probably saved me anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. Okay? So I was able to do that. He died on Sunday. So I'm very grateful to God to help me with that. But what I want to mention is if you have an opportunity to get insurance more than what your job allows you, or you can get it through your, you know, agent and they can guarantee you they're going to lower your premium on other things, it's worth getting. Because husband and wife that doesn't work, what you going to do with her gone? You're insured, but, you know, I hope she is too, but what would you do? 4 kids? What?
Dave Ramsey says that a stay-at-home wife is worth 4 million.
Right, right. I'm always talking about $500,000 and above, because if you choose to pay off your house, or if you choose to, you know, have to utilize that because you have children now, and also I'm a trust person opposed to a will, because a will can take you to probate.
Yeah.
Okay. But.
But it's better than nothing.
Well,
it's better than nothing.
It just tells the people around you what you want to do. But like he said, LegalZoom, I went to LegalZoom when they first got started. And I did my whole trust. And I'll tell you this, when I went to the bank to change things, the first thing that guy said, oh, you're going to have to refinance your home. I said, I don't think so. And he didn't know. So the guy says, well, oh, you have a trust? I said, yeah. I said, I'm at 3.25. I am not refinancing anything. So they had to keep it because it's a trust. They can't touch it. Plus, at the time when I got that trust, I wanted my children to go to certain, you know, whether it be a family member. At that time, it really wasn't a family member. It was somebody else in the church that I could trust to take care of my kids. I had that noted in my trust. So different things you got to think, you know, do you want everybody, anybody getting a hold of your children? Plus, at the same time, I wanted my kids to be treated fairly. So there was an amount of money to take care of them. And believe me, they become more valuable than, you know, I can't afford to take care of them. So just different things that you want done, you can say in that trust. And I think LegalZoom files it for your home. So they file it.
Do they do trust as well?
Oh yeah, I got the trust with them. That, and it cost me more because I had children. But if you don't have children involved, you just want to be able to give to the next people, whether they're your children, you know. And my husband, during that time, believe me, people changed their mind. So I said, y'all can do whatever. I don't care. Once I'm dead, I'm dead. You know, I felt that way. And my husband says, no, I want to be resuscitated. I said, really? Because we had both agreed we didn't want to be resuscitated. But you know what? At the final end, he said, don't resuscitate me. Okay, but you need a document. You need a power of attorney. You need something ahead of time, you know? And it doesn't cost much. I think I have Rocket documents or something. You go on there, make your own, and take it to a notary. So I just want to mention that when it happens, money, believe me, they won't bury you until you pay them. So with that situation, this accelerated death, really helps. If you know that person is having, you know, where they may not make it in the next 6 months or year or less, you can pull that money out. But at the time of death, you can't do anything until you get a death certificate. And mine didn't come for 2.5 weeks. So you're, you know, trying to get things situated. I had a credit card. I pulled that out and paid it off. But I'm just saying, money, if you have, like you said, well, $1,000 isn't going to get it. You're going to have anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20,000 to bury somebody. So you're going to need that immediately, because like I said, they won't bury anybody until they see the money. So think about all of this, things that, you know, we need to do, and think of what you want to leave your family with. And because I've seen a lot of deaths, and I've seen people totally evicted and put out to the streets. I had to open my door for, you know, a sister in the church, because once her husband died, that was it. She didn't have anything. So it's our responsibility for our children, for our spouse, for ourselves to get some type of life insurance. And always consider what your house is worth, what your wife is going to need afterwards. Because even if you paid off the house, where's she going to get money from? Social Security may pay, but there's just a lot of time that's involved in trying to maneuver that. So within the next 3 months, how is that person going to survive? So good teaching here. I just wanted to share that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And I think you were summarizing what she just said. Be thinking about these things. This is a real life example, and of somebody, of a couple that and spend some time thinking about it, and we're able to deal with one of the most terrible things that can happen. That's the death of a spouse. And so, Sister Robinson, thank you so very much. And here's what this is. Insurance, again, it's not something you want to, you know, spend a lot of time thinking about, but it's when you need it, you need it. And there is something about knowing these things are in place, that you have transferred the big ticket risks to somebody else. That's what this is about. Paying those minimal amounts, transferring it to insurance companies, and there's a spot inside you that just relaxes. And I believe that's the will of God for every one of us to be in that spot. All right. Thank you again, Sister Robinson. Let's see if we got any questions. Brother Caleb Dilfer.
Just that.
And I may need your help, sis. So, yeah. Hey, Brother Darn, yeah, can we pass those out? And go ahead and ask your question, Brother Caleb.
Just a quick comment on
yes.
Insurance stuff.
Okay.
Because it all makes my head spin and I can't figure it out. Just on the insurance stuff, it makes my head hurt. So I know. But Dave Ramsey on his site has a thing where he recommends agents, they'll find an agent in your area or whatever. And with, they're recommended by him and all this kind of stuff. But when you call them up, they ask you, what baby step are you in? Where are you at? And they like go through your stuff, and I got my auto insurance. They save me like $200 a month. Went from AAA to Mercury, and I called Mercury myself. I didn't get a good deal, but going through them, I got a better deal. And then like life insurance and all that kind of stuff, like they go through the Dave Ramsey stuff, and they do all the numbers and say, this is where you need to be, so. And they're not a commission-based thing. They're maybe paying a flat rate for all the stuff they do, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's great.
Sounds about the same.
Excellent. That's great to know. I saw the other hands. Sister Robinson.
This is a weird thing. I bought cancer insurance. Okay. So people are saying, you know, that's not good for you. But for a woman, this particular insurance policy I purchased pays for my family. Okay. So I'm paying them maybe a total of $220-some a year. But they give me a $250 refund when I go to the member. Who pays for it? You know? And not only that, it has some big ticket stuff. When you're going to be treated for cancer, they're giving you this much a day, they're refunding many. I was just like, I gotta get myself to get a mammogram in here, because it just pays it back. It's preventive care. But it was like, that's a lot of money. You know, that insurance policy, but some of my too much for that one. I was like, if I'm hospitalized, they're gonna pay me $1,000 a day. And I was like, you know, I don't know what it does for men. Maybe it's prostate or something like that, but it was physician neutral. I just said, I gotta have that.
Well, the biggest thing out of all this is there's be planning ahead. Planning ahead. There's a lot of different views and some of the Dave Ramsey said, I don't know if I agree with 100% everything he says, but I do know this, be planning ahead. This insurance stuff is a big deal. I saw some other hands. I thought, okay, I know we kept you a little later tonight, but Sister Robinson, I want to say again, thank you so very, very much. And go check out your liability insurance. Where you're at, your auto, find out where you're at. It's not that much. Liability's cheap. Go if you don't have term insurance, especially if you're young, it's cheap if you're young. Even if you're older, it's not. And find out where you're at and begin this process. Anything else before we go? All right, why don't we stand? God bless you. This is part of the defensive part of making the rest of this work. What a bummer to spend 20 years and get all this dialed in and you're ready to go and then it gets wiped out because you didn't make some easy decisions with calling LegalZoom, which I'm working on. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for this great people. And thank you, God, that there's ways that we can be good stewards of the talents that you put in our hand. I ask you to bless us, help us to act on this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. God bless you. And we will try not to keep you this long next time. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. I think August 24th. No. It's like 2 weeks out. Is that the 26th? Anyway, it's coming up. 26. Thank you, Caleb. Wow.